Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today, you know, on KSVO Radio.
Well, good morning, Monterey Bay, Silicon Valley, all the ships at sea. MZ welcoming you to hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special. Maybe it's not a record. I think we had one about a year ago that took us a little longer to get on the air than this one even. But we're going to have a lot of fun during the next 2 hours talking about Bay Area radio, Bay Area personality radio. We've got the best guests we can ever have. So stay with us for the next hour and a half.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Now don't get me wrong, I'm very proud of our favorite radio station, but whatever happened to personality radio, fun radio, man-on-the-street interviews, on-air skits, big talent promotions to draw out thousands, you know, radio that made you feel good, not just indifferent or angry. Well, let me tell you, thanks to the respect and dedication of a man named Dave Jackson, there is a terrific repository of information and audio clips of Bay Area radio in its heyday. Dave is the director of the Bay Area Radio Museum and is one class act. His organization has a killer website for those of you who are interested in the golden age of Bay Area radio. It features stories and actual recordings of such great talents as Don Sherwood, Al Jazbo Collins, Dr. Don Rose, and many others. So, plan to join us for a breezy discussion of the good old days in radio on the next KSCO special. This Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon right here on It's About Time We Had Some Serious Fun Radio, AM 1080 KSCO. Special fanfare. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm special fanfare. Yes. I turned 55 a month ago. And it's like my eyes turned bad overnight. You know, the computer screen is too small. That's why I hit the same thing over again. Anyhow. All right. 10:23 on AM 1080 KSCO. Dave Jackson, welcome to the radio station.
Oh, it's so good to be here. I appreciate the opportunity.
It's like a train wreck.
Any chance I get to sit and flap my gums about radio and radio history, that's a good day.
Now, let's see. You are still in that preferred radio demographic, 25 to 54, which I stepped out of about, you know, 3 weeks or a month ago.
Yeah.
I feel really insignificant now. I mean, now you're still in your 40s, right?
I still am, yeah.
I mean, you're sort of a young dude.
I actually got to do an Arbitron ratings binder, little book, for them a couple of weeks ago. And they were just ecstatic that they found somebody my age who actually still listens to the radio.
Who was it you? Someone I was talking to at the Legends meeting the other day, you know, was talking to somebody, some 20-something, and the person didn't even, not only didn't know what AM was, they said, what's FM?
Well, I think that's a lot of the problem. That's a lot of the problem these days is everything is so niche-oriented that, you know, you've got to have a hip-hop station that hits one, you know, one specific demographic. You've got, you know, the talk radio audience, they say, is getting older. They're taking a lot of the oldies off the radio. They're taking a lot of the nostalgia and standards off the radio.
If the audience is getting older, why aren't they putting more oldies on or you know, having, you know what I'm saying?
You know, that's one of the things I hear all the time is that people are talking about, you know, when they're changing the formats on radio stations, is people of a certain age, people of our age, still know what an AM radio is. I mean, I've got a satellite radio at home. I've got an AM and an FM. I've got a, you know, CD player and MP3s and everything else. But AM is becoming, in a lot of ways, neglected, forgotten, and
well, what I'm saying is even FM now with the iPods.
Oh, sure.
I mean, there's this person at the Legends was just astounded, and he was dead serious when he was telling me that talking to someone at, I don't know, Old Navy or something, some younger person, And the person didn't even know what radio was.
Right,
I mean, what broadcast radio was, because they listened to their CDs, they listened to their MP3s, they listened to their computer, they listened to their iPods. But they don't listen to...
In a lot of cases, though, people in radio, the people who program the radio stations, are actually enablers on this, because they're hearing from people, well, I don't know what to do with this. And so they're going, well, then maybe what we should do is turn our radio station into an MP3 player, you know, turn it into a, you know, musical jukebox with no personalities, no format, you know, no style to it. Back in the 50s and 60s, you had radio stations that were exciting and entertaining, that had disc jockeys who spoke to you, who sat there and, you know, ran contests and, you know, used cool language and all these things. But in between time, they'd play music ranging from Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra to the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and everything in between. Back in the 60s, you could listen to a radio station. They'd play Glenn Campbell for you. The next thing you'd hear might be the Righteous Brothers. The next thing after that might be Petula Clark. And the next thing after that could be, I don't know, Johnny Ray. Nowadays, it's, if it's not a specific niche of music or programming, forget it. You're off the radio.
Yeah. Geez. And there's more and more talk radio that's proliferating, right, as time goes on.
Not that it's a bad thing.
No.
But then you've also got that breaks down into specific niches beyond that, and it becomes narrower and narrower and narrower on the station. You listen to a station, there's a big sports station in San Francisco, one of my favorite stations. I listen to it most of the time. But they don't do news on that station because they're afraid if they do news, they're going to lose
KNBR,
you.
KNBR, or is it?
Can you say KNBR on here? Yeah.
Sure.
No, I'm sorry. No, it's the sports leader.
1050.
No, I'll sit and listen to Uncle Gary Rabinovich over there, and he's got a great show. But if I need news, I've got to tune off his radio station. On the other hand,
so did you hear him talking about Sherwood the other day?
I did not.
Yeah, Radnich did a big long thing about Sherwood
just in the last
2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're talking, for those of you who don't know, in our KSCO audience, we're talking about the acclaimed world's greatest disc jockey.
Self-proclaimed in a lot of ways, but in a lot of ways he was.
There was no one like this guy.
Exactly.
No
right.
one like this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the kind of guy who said, who would say, honk your horn. And every horn in the Bay Area was honking.
But you'd also hear on that radio station, this is
KSFO.
KSFO back in the day, it called itself the world's greatest radio station. And what they essentially did was, if there was a great disc jockey out there, whether that person was in Pittsburgh, whether that person was in New York City, whether that person was in Los Angeles, they'd go out and say, we want to make our station better. We're going to go out and find that talent and bring it in. Whether it was an Al Jazbo Collins at WNEW in New York, or Terry McGovern at KDKA in Pittsburgh, or for a good example, Don Sherwood, who'd worked his way up from KCBS, worked part-time at KGO, got a great job at a station called KROW over in Oakland, worked with an all-star
cast. Is that what is now KNEW?
No, it's now
What's
Quake.
Yeah,
it's 960.
Okay.
It turned into KABL around 1959, 1960.
Right.
But back in the 50s and 60s, I'm sorry, in the 40s and 50s, it was a great personality-oriented radio station.
So it was sort of the precursor or predecessor to KSFO.
Absolutely.
Almost, right?
Russ Coughlin, I don't know if you know that name.
Not only did I know him, I scolded him once for not returning my phone call. I said, you're a big shot, like you knew. You know what? You're a big shot and I'm a small shot. And you know what it means for a small shot to have a call back from a big shot. And you could have done it. And you did. And he felt ashamed.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I got an Ira
you
Blue
guilted?
Story.
Oh, you do have a small clip of Ira Blue.
Oh, my
we
God,
have, it's
really?
A very brief one. I had to do a lot of research. A lot of this may, people will sit there and go, Ira Blue. Ira Blue, back in, was one of the true pioneers of talk radio. He was originally a sportscaster. He would do anything from roller derby to wrestling matches. In fact, I think he broke into radio doing a chess match on the radio, which just had to be incredible back in the 30s. So he was a remarkable guy who, in a lot of ways, from the little clips that I've heard of him, actually sounded like a San Francisco version of Howard Cosell. In the 60s, he broadcast...
You know, you're right on. You're right on.
He,
and I haven't heard his voice in 40 years.
Well,
and so I'm really excited, you know, that I was looking all over your site.
Well,
and I couldn't find, I could see, you know, that there was some information on
exactly,
Ira Blue in a
yeah,
picture, but
yeah.
there was no audio
well,
there.
Well, there's not a lot of pictures. I've been in touch with, in working on the Bay Area Radio Hall of Fame and on the museum, I've been in contact with his family. He still has family all around the area, and his daughter doesn't have any recordings of it. Was back in that time nobody made recordings. It was
my gosh.
It was one of those. It was not the TiVo generation, or you know, I sit at my computer.
No, I was the original tape recorder kid. My father, for a belated birthday present, he bought me my most coveted possession, which was a tape recorder, and it was on Lincoln's birthday, February 12th, 1965.
That real I got to real kind of thing?
Yeah, it was
wow.
a real
yeah,
to real.
That was my first one,
it was
too.
For $259.
Jeez.
And, man, what an expensive
wow.
gift that was. I mean, I was so jazzed that my dad would do that for me, and I immediately made my first recording and cleared my throat. I said, hello, this is
Oh, but of course.
And I cleared my throat, and you could hear my father in the background scolding me.
Mm-hmm.
He says, whenever you announce, don't you ever dare, if you have to, in the opposite direction so the audience doesn't hear you. Now, he wasn't a radio guy, but he knew all that stuff.
Exactly. You see, we have an entire generation of people of a certain age, again, of our age, where I did exactly the same thing. We had a little kid's turntable at home, and we'd put the 45s on, and I'd back announce them and everything else at that time. And I hung around the little radio station. We had I grew up in Fremont, and we had a little radio station in our neighborhood, and my mom would drop me off, and I'd, you know, 10, 12 years old, I'd wander around, and they'd give me the big old rolls of newsprint that were coming off the teletype machines.
Oh, yeah.
And I had those for so many years. And I also, you know, would hold up my microphone to the radio speaker and record different shows and stuff. I still have a lot of those cassettes. And we've got people
now,
across
the country.
Now,
you can't remember
country.
Listening to Ira Blue yourself, right?
No.
You're not
no,
quite
because
that old.
I was not in Ira's his target demographic at that point of my life either. I grew up listening to...
I wonder if he was off the air by the time you were...
No, not
born.
At all. He passed away. Strangely enough, he passed away.
Was he still on the air when he passed?
He was off the air in 1970.
Yeah.
And he'd been ill for some time after that. And he died on, I remember the day was January 8th, 1974, because strangely enough, the same day my dad died, which was really a strange coincidence.
The exact day?
The exact same day. Ira Blue made the front page.
Not date.
Everything exactly the same day.
Wow.
Yeah, January 8th, 1974. I remember that.
Wow.
I mentioned that to in doing research, I came across that. Wasn't something that I've held on my, you know, for the past 30 years going, wow, my dad. I just found that out a week or so ago and mentioned that to Ira Blue's daughter. And she said, that's just a very strange coincidence. But again, Ira Blue, there's not a lot of recordings out there. And he did one of the original talk about UFOs, the whole Art Bell kind of thing.
I didn't even know that.
Late night kind of things.
Just remember he was, hello, this is Ira Blue with the Hungry Eye.
That's him, yeah. Late nights at the Hungry Eye. He actually took that show over from another legend, Les Crane.
Yep.
Who did the show before him. He went on to try to do bigger and better things as a talk show host back in New York. And left the microphone sitting over at the Hungry Eye, and Ira Blue took it over.
Wow. Well, you know, Enrico Banducci, who was the owner.
Exactly right.
Is he still?
I don't know.
I mean,
is there even
a Hungry Eye? I mean, how much?
You know what? There is still a Hungry
Eye.
There's
still a Hungry Eye, okay.
Not the same, you know, Lenny Bruce and jazz and all
that
kind of stuff.
Did you attend the Broadcast Legends meeting of about 2 or 3 years ago where they honored Don Sherwood?
No,
I did
not.
Okay, and Greg Sherwood, his son, was there,
right.
as he was... to accept the award that you presented to his father, inducting his father into the Hall of Fame.
Because if Don was still alive, Don wouldn't have been there one way or the other.
That's
so
what Greg said.
It was actually pretty good in a way that Don was no longer with us so that we actually could honor him.
Yeah, that's what
publicly.
Greg said. That was pretty funny. And, you know, we told Greg that we were going to be doing this program and, maybe we could talk to him, and he gave me a cell number, so we'll try to get hold of Greg a little later on if it works out.
If he's not doing pledge breaks right now.
Exactly.
On KQED Channel 9. Which I'd been watching for years and had never made the connection. That tells you how bright I am. I never made the connection that guy was actually Greg Sherwood Cohalen, Don Sherwood's real name, Don Sherwood Cohalen. Oh, I'm sorry, Dan Sherwood. Cohalen, Don Sherwood on the air, yeah.
Really? So his first name was Dan?
Dan, yeah.
I'll be
Daniel
be.
Sherwood.
I'll be darned.
The generations of generations of different broadcasters who were given good enough first and middle names that he could drop their last name.
Well, I don't know if people want to hear my short Ira Blue story.
Go for it.
But you want to hear it?
I want to hear
okay,
it.
Okay, good. So that's all that counts. Because as far as you're here with me.
Radio audience of one.
Yeah. Okay. When I was old enough to get on a bus and go to San Francisco and hang out at KGO. Now, they wouldn't let me hang out inside KGO. I hung out outside because they had a window, you know, facing Golden Gate Avenue mm-hmm. where you could see the talk hosts, which were called communicasters back right. then. I would stand and watch Dunbar do his thing. It was when he was a talk host before he got into news, which, correct me if I'm wrong, he got into as a result of the shooting incident. Now, I wasn't there to witness the shooting incident in 1968, I think it was.
I think that's how everything stemmed right yeah. from there. But they were going in that direction.
Yeah,
that
some wacko went up to the window that I used to spend hours watching and started shooting at yeah. Dunbar. And luckily, it was like bulletproof glass. And all this happened on the air. It was just electrifying radio. You could hear the guy saying, I don't know if you've got, have you got that clip somewhere
no,
on the site?
No.
Well, can somebody do something about that, please, or something, what he said. And Jim Dunbar wasn't hurt, but a sales rep from KGO radio ran outside because he heard all the shooting and wondered what was going on, firecrackers or something in the street. And, boy, really unlucky. He went out the front door, and the guy who was shooting at Dunbar turned and shot him dead. You know, this
right.
advertising sales representative, I forgot the gentleman's name, but, man, what a sad day that was. But it was very, very dramatic and very real. Anyhow, before that happened, I used to hang out at KGO, and the only way I could sleaze my way in was to, be friendly to one of the, you know, talents that I recognized. Now, I had seen a picture of Ira Blue somewhere, you know, in the newspaper, and I saw him walking down the street, coming to go into to the radio station. I said, "Gee, Mr. Blue, do you have any advice for someone who, you know, really wants to get into radio?" Yeah, my name is Michael, by the way. He said, "Michael, come with me." And he, you know, we went in through the security and everything. And they even had security back then, even before the shooting. We walked into the elevator. And it was a grand total of maybe, I don't know, 90 seconds or a minute or maybe 2 minutes tops that I spent with him. But walking with him and getting into the elevator and going upstairs, he said to me, "You are going to knock on many, many, many doors. You're going to knock on door after door after door at radio stations, and they're all going to slam in your face. And one day, one of those doors is going to open, and an arm is going to come out and grab you by the shoulder and tug you in, and you're not going to be able ever to get out." And that's exactly what happened.
Exactly
know,
right.
Years later.
Yeah.
I mean, many, many years later.
Well, once you're bitten by the bug yeah. stays with you forever.
I guess
and
I was,
ever and
I was
ever,
already
though,
bitten by
you know?
The bug, but.
But it's the same way with anybody who gets into other things as far as whether you're a writer or whether you wanted to grow up and be a railroad engineer. You know, if there's at some point you were a fan of that and wanted to get involved in it, you do it.
Right.
It's just the way it is. But I think we're also in a generation right now where, just attending the broadcast legends, lunches, they are, if you're a radio fan, it's the equivalent of going to a Star Trek convention and standing there and looking at the people who were from some of them from the late 1930s up through the current times. But we're not growing radio people anymore. We're not training them. We're not developing them. I can't think in the Bay Area more than maybe one or two names of people who were, you know, grown through the minor league system of going, you know, working in Colorado or Utah and working their way up to Portland, Oregon, and then maybe getting a job in Sacramento and then going into San Francisco and trying to hit the big time. The only one I can think of, and I'm drawing a blank on his name, is the guy who was on MTV, Carson Daly. I was going to say Carson Palmer. Carson oh. Daly, who now has a late, late, late show on NBC. But he was a disc jockey. He worked in San Francisco for a while, worked at a world-famous KROQ in Los Angeles. But those guys are few and far between. Back in the day, you had guys who worked through a minor league system of radio to get to the big time in San Francisco. And that has not happened. The new disc jockeys around are guys who've been in the business for 25, 30 years. It's graying. The business is graying slowly but surely.
Yeah. Bobby Ocean is around and Tommy Saunders is around.
Exactly right, yeah.
Ken Ackerman is around.
Ken Ackerman is very much around.
He's the founder of
He is one of the seven of the seven founding fathers of broadcast legends.
Yeah, and man, I forgot. I meant to call Ken because I have his home number here. I meant to call him and remind him about this program so we can listen on the internet. Well, maybe we can do it during the break or something.
That sounds great. A lot of the clips that we have here come directly from Ken Ackerman. Ken was given the Doc Herald Award for 2006 by the California Historical Radio Society. He was not only a great announcer over the years from the time around World War II, he broke into radio at that time, through the 1950s when he hosted a show called Music Till Dawn on KCBS, and then when KCBS became a news station, he became a newscaster for them as well. And to this day, he is probably the greatest collector of radio programs, radio memorabilia, equipment, and all those things. And he's at his age, I know he's in his mid-80s, he has been just incredibly gracious in providing recordings and different items for the public.
Great guy. Maybe we can call Ken later on. Try to figure out how to do if we can get organized. Well, gee, we've been using up the time just talking among ourselves, which is great. But
we got gypped out of 20 minutes at the front end of this thing anyway, so we're kind of backloading this thing as it is.
You're listening to the Saturday Special on AM 1080 KSCO, your favorite radio station. It's MZ with special guest Dave Jackson, who is the curator. I haven't seen you use that word, but why not, right?
Yeah, actually in the program for the Legends Lunch the other day, it said creator, which I thought was really neat because that gives me almost omnipotent powers over this entire thing. And
of the Bay Area broadcast?
It's the Bay Area Radio Museum, which is www.bayarearadio.org. Or you can go to the Bay Area Radio Hall of Fame website, which is B-A-R-H-O-F, barhoff.com.
All right. Now, because we've never been I've never been much of a businessman anyhow, I want to continue that tradition by telling you that, and being quite honest with you, ladies and gentlemen, that if you have any interest in radio at all, that if you go to this website, you're not going to be listening to KSCO for probably 6 months because there is so much material that is just so fascinating. It's all good stuff to listen to, including something that I'm looking at and might play right now because I have another personal story to relate. But you've got something you want to maybe...
No, actually, I see what you've got on the screen right there.
Okay. So John Lennon, 1260 KYA, San Francisco, John Lennon Peace Talk, Saturday, May 29th, 1969, featuring Tom Campbell and Bill Holly.
The great Bill Holly.
Did you write this? Did you write this text?
I wrote most of the text that's on the website. There's one section on there that's called Voices Out of the Fog, which is a comprehensive history. A fellow named John Schneider, who went to college in San Francisco for his master's thesis, wrote a history of San Francisco radio, and I was in touch with him probably in the mid-1970s when he was working on it, so I was just a kid at that time, but was able to provide him with information from my own archives that I'd begun gathering when I was 6 years old. But aside from that, everything on the website, I'd say maybe 95% of the things on the website I've written, and all of the gaps that are on the website are things that I've not.
I'm going to ask the audience to forgive me because I'm always saying, hey, we shouldn't read things on the radio. This is so well written, I got to read it. Okay. Unable to get into the United States due to restrictions placed on him by the Nixon administration and the Immigration and Naturalization Service, John Lennon and Yoko Ono have holed up in room 1742 of the Hotel Reine Elizabeth in Montreal, Quebec, where they are in the midst of their second bed-in for peace. Now, those of you who are old enough will remember the headlines in the newspapers of pictures of John and Yoko with a big poster behind their bed, the headboard that said hair peace.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, after being held up in Canadian customs for more than 2 hours following their arrival on Sunday, May 25th, John and Yoko head to the Queen E on Monday to commence their 11-day bed-in, during which they meet with friends and well-wishers while attired in their robes and pajamas. John also takes the time to hone a recent composition that he calls Give Peace a Chance, which also, while also making a series of interviews to promote peace. One of the telephone interviews is with a pair of San Francisco disc jockeys, Tom Campbell and Bill Holley, broadcast live on KYA Radio, during which they touch upon a broad variety of topics, from the Beatles' music publishing to song lyric instrumentation to Moog synthesizers. Several questions submitted by listeners show that many of them haven't quite caught on that Lennon has matured from the mop-top Beatle from just a few years earlier to a more savvy artist who is selling, in quotes, peace. During the Montreal bed-in, this is what gives me goosebumps, gang, John also makes a phone call to the protesters at Berkeley's People's Park, where California Governor Ronald Reagan had recently sent in the National Guard to control the estimated crowd of 6,000 that had gathered there. Why, you might ask, does that give me goosebumps, which you can see, you're here.
I'll tell you what.
Okay, why do you think? I'm the guy who answered the phone. I'm the guy who answered the phone at KALX.
Wow.
I was the guy on duty, on the air, while everybody else was out. Yeah, well, bearded and long-haired and everything like that. I was the guy who was running the student radio station at the time. It was the only time they let me run it because there was more action outside. I'll let Zwirling run the radio station, you know.
Worlds collide.
And boy, you know, I mean, I got to talk to John Lennon and Yoko Ono, you know. So I got goosebumps because it says call to the protesters at Berkeley's People's Park. They called the student radio station and I put him through. He wanted to go on the air to warn the students. No damn park's worth losing your life over.
Precisely right. You
know? Yeah. Yeah. What happened? What's that sound? I don't know what that was. But anyhow, let's play that interview, okay?
I'll point out to everybody that on the museum website, all you'll have to do is go to the page marked People. You can scroll down to John Lennon under L, or you can go to C for Tom Campbell, or you can go to the station's page for KYA and scroll down and find it on there. And you'll be able to listen to the full length. You'll be able to listen to the full length broadcast. This was actually issued on a 45 RPM two-sided disc, just recorded right straight off of the station board. I'm afraid if you're playing that off of the website right there, you might get the disclaimer at the start of it.
Oh, well.
So if you want to play it off of what I've got right here, since we're doing live radio, I can just speak right over your head here.
I don't even know what we're getting here, but
loud hissing noise.
Oh.
Hello, Bill and Tom in San Francisco.
John, hi. Welcome to KYA.
Hi, how are you?
How's Yoko?
She's beautiful.
Oh, wonderful. John, a couple of questions. First of all, do you plan to come back to the United States soon?
Well, I applied for a visa yesterday from Montreal U.S. Embassy, and I'm just hoping.
John, exactly what are you doing in Canada right now?
We're holding a bed-in for peace, and we're selling peace like you sell soap, and everybody's got to be aware that they can have peace if they want it, and as soon as they want.
That's beautiful.
Do something about it.
Is this another Amsterdam sleep-in for you?
Right, it is. This is a Montreal sleep-in.
How long will you be in Montreal, John, doing your number there?
I'm trying to do the bed-in 7 days, and I think this is the fourth day. I'm not sure. You know, there's so much going on in this bedroom. I don't know what day it is.
Have you been in the bed in the sleep-in the entire time that you've been in Montreal now?
Yeah, actually, we snuck out yesterday morning to the American Embassy to apply for a visa, but it was a great secret.
What about this visa? What's the chance of it coming through?
Well, I really don't know, you know. It's in the air. I just hope for the best.
Okay, can we put a hypothetical question to you?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, what happens if the visa does come through and you are granted permission to come into the U.S.? Where will you go?
Well, then I don't know, you know. I'll go somewhere in the States, you know. I was originally heading for New York, but it depends.
Can we talk you to coming to the Love City, San Francisco, and doing your number here?
Well, we might just do that, you know. I mean, we've thought about Washington, New York, Berkeley, and San Francisco. You know, it's really us making a decision on that if we ever get in.
I think you've had a lot to do with the peace movement going on in Berkeley today.
We've been screaming like mad from the don't kill themselves and no bit of grass is worth that. No park is worth dying for.
Hello, John?
Hi, Tom Campbell.
Listen, we have some questions that some of our listeners have asked us to ask you.
Right.
If you'd be kind enough to answer a few, we'd appreciate it, okay?
A pleasure.
Okay, one question. Are the Beatles connected with a publication in England called the Beatles Monthly Book?
They're vaguely connected with it, yeah.
I see.
I mean, we don't own the rights to it or anything, but it's they sort of got the right, the people sort of took the, oh, I don't know, you know, but it's our book, all right, it's our fan magazine.
Okay, Randy Morris of Oakland had a question. He wanted to know, John, what is Hey Jude all about?
Anything you like, you know.
Anything you like. What about the future of the Beatles with ATV? Northern, I mean Northern Publishing, since ATV has taken over control.
Well, I mean, we never had control, you know. All we did was to try and prevent somebody else taking control. You know, we never had the controlling interest in Northern songs ever.
I see.
When somebody new came in, we just tried to stop them. And we did stop them getting complete control. They only have sort of, you know, three-quarter. They have to amalgamate, which makes them weaker.
I see, John. One other question. Brad Brewster of El Cerrito wanted to know, what city would you like to live in between these, Berkeley, San Francisco, or Los Angeles?
I really don't know, you know.
That's a good answer.
I spent more time in L.A., so maybe I'd go for Frisco, you know.
Good boy.
John, I have a question for you. On Get Back, there's a title line, a credit line at the end with Billy Preston.
Oh, yeah.
Why did you bring an outside person in for a Beatles song?
Well, I mean, we've often used other musicians on millions of records, you know. I can't understand it. And we just named Billy because Billy was playing a pretty funky piano solo, that's all. He used to play with Ray Charles' band, you know. And he came over and he signed up for Apple and George's producing an LP with him. And he's a groovy cat, and he just comes in and sits on the session and lays it on you, you know. And so we thought we'd give him a credit.
So you're just giving credit where credit's due, right?
It says with Billy Preston. It doesn't say Billy Preston instead of the Beatles. I mean, I don't understand how these myths get going.
Fine for you. Thanks for clearing it up. John?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tom again. I'm curious, one thing. You cut this record, The Ballad of John and Yoko. What message are you trying to portray in this song?
I'm not portraying any message. I'm telling a story, like newspaper, you know. I'm telling a story about John and Yoko, and therefore about everyone, because we're all one. I am his, you are me, and we are all together.
All together. Okay, what about the flip side, The Old Brown Shoe?
Well, that's George's song, and I just dig the sound of it. I haven't really got into the lyrics, you know. I'm getting out this old brown shoe, baby, I'm in love with you. That's good enough for me.
Okay, fine. This comes from Joan Kuvik, who wants to know, are you and Yoko doing a film together?
Yeah, we've made about 7 films so far, and we've got them in a brown paper bag at the moment. We're trying to get distribution.
Okay. I mean, what about the future? Anything in the near future for another film?
Well, Yoko and I are filming all the time, you know. We're making a film of this event, and it'll be an amazing film when you see the goings-on in the bedroom.
Oh, really?
We've got radio. Not that kind of thing, now. Lay off them.
Okay.
We've been here. We've got people chanting Hare Krishna. We've got visitors coming in, one after the other, in all strange outfits. It's pretty fantastic. You'll dig it.
Hey, great. Will this show in the U.S., do you think?
Well, I mean, we just got to get distribution for it. We maybe make an hour TV show, you know, sort of showing the bed in, the whole thing. And.
But let me say, I mean, with the Beatles, you shouldn't have any difficulty getting distribution.
Oh, you're kidding. I couldn't even get 2 virgins out on Apple.
Well, you know, maybe things are changing for the better.
Yeah, I hope so. I believe it. They're getting better all the time.
In the past, it's been rather difficult to really be in touch with you and to talk to you, and all of a sudden it seems like you've made yourself readily available. Is there any reason for this change of heart, so to speak?
Peace! Okay?
Okay?
That's the reason, you know. I'm selling a product, so I'm back again.
You're back again? What are your plans? You're going to get in front of the public? You're going to go out on tour again? You're going to perform, or what? When can we see you? Where can we see you?
Well, I don't know. You get me in the States and I'll tell you that. The Beatles are 4 middle-aged teenagers who've got to make a democratic decision on whether they go on tour or not. And we're not agreed on it, so I don't know when. But John and Yoko will certainly perform.
That's great. Hey, what are the other guys doing now?
Paul's driving through Europe, last time I heard. Ringo's in the Bahamas, sort of half filming and half on holiday. And I don't know what George is doing. He's probably working.
I understand that purchased a Moog synthesizer, right?
Our Moog synthesizer, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, George has got it in his house, actually.
Are you using it?
With Hal out of 2001.
Are you working out details on it now? You're going to use it on a future session, maybe? Or what's the plan?
George has made an LP with it, you know. We've got this new output on Apple, which is called Zapple. And John and Yoko have just made a new album on it, and it's out about a couple of weeks. And George's electronic album's out at the same time. And we're going to have people like poets and, you know. It's called Zapple, so you know, you get a surprise when you buy it.
That'll be something to look forward to. Hey, how about the next Beatles LP? What's in the workings now?
Well, we finished it, you know, and the most finished number on it was Get Back. We're doing this rehearsal for a show, which we never finished, so we got fed up and put the rehearsal out. And it sounds okay, you know, and there's chatting and messing about and all sorts on it. And then we got halfway through another album, so we stopped that. We got tired and took a break.
John, will the new LP, will it be a single LP or a double LP like the last one?
It'll be a single LP, but this one's got a book with it, you know, sort of a whole book of us making the LP. And we also made a film of it at the same time, so we've got to get that together.
Tell me about the film, please. I haven't heard this.
We made a sort of documentary of us making the album, and we got 68 hours of film there, so we got to do a bit of work with it.
We look forward...
All the traumas and all the different things that happen to you when you try and make a record.
Is there great hopes for this film being a movie production, or will it end up maybe like Magical Mystery Tour?
Well, if it does end up, I mean, it might end up like Magical Mystery Tour, only this time it'll be on the air.
John, we've been talking about what's happening now, what's been happening in the past. What about the future? What do you plan to do in the future?
I haven't got any specific plans, you know. I just plan to turn the people on to peace.
Turn the people on to peace?
Yeah.
How?
Through music, painting, drawing, books, dancing, eating.
Okay, you've had a lot of spare time, John, in the boudoir, so to speak, with Yoko. In addition to many other activities, have you spent any time to composing songs?
Yeah, I've got a couple coming out, you know. I mean, I've written a couple since I've been on the road with Yoko. One of them's called Give Peace a Chance, which I'm going to record as soon as I can.
What made you all of a sudden go on this, I shouldn't call it a kick, but I am, this particular...
Kick, yeah.
Right, well, what has caused you all of a sudden to do this, John?
It just sort of was a gradual development over years, you know. I mean, last year it was All You Need Is Love. This year it's All You Need Is Love and Peace, baby. Give peace a chance. Remember love. The only hope for any of us is peace. Violence begets violence. If you want to get peace, you can get it as soon as you like if we all pull together. You're all geniuses and you're all beautiful. You don't need anybody to tell you who you are or what you are. You are what you are. Get out there and get peace. Think peace, live peace, and breathe peace, and you'll get it as soon as you like, okay?
John, thanks for taking the time to call us. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Great. Spread the word.
John, we will spread your word. Get into town soon. San Francisco needs you. Will you come down?
Yeah, I'd love to come. I'd really love to. Okay, bye-bye. See
bye-bye.
Peace.
KYA, since 1926, heard by everyone.
That was an interview from May 29th, 1969, featuring Tom Campbell and Bill Holly on KYA, AM 1260 San Francisco. Great radio station back
wonderful
in those days
station,
that I used to
yeah.
listen to a lot, along with the Big 610.
Exactly,
you know,
right, yeah.
Yeah, KFRC. And, wow, I mean, just chills. I mean, what a great interview. I don't remember hearing that interview until I just got it off your website here.
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
A day or two ago.
KYA issued that on a little 45 that was kind of limited edition, and there's still a couple of copies of it floating around out there. And, you know, it's as we were talking while we were listening to this, mentioning that it's as current as today's headlines because, you know, People's Park is back in the news and people are protesting for peace. So, you know, things just go around and come full circle.
37 years later.
That's
wow.
Right. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Exactly.
You're listening to the KSCO Saturday special, pardon me, on your favorite radio station, KSCO AM 1080, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, and Silicon Valley. Dave Jackson and MZ with you talking about Bay Area radio, the heydays. Why don't we have personality radio anywhere? I mean, you don't find... Well, we have a little bit of it on KSCO, I guess. You know, we have a little bit, right?
Yeah.
But not...
But of course.
Yeah, okay. So...
But for the most part.
And Dave Michaels, are you there at the station?
I am here.
Oh, what a guy. Great. He will say, things are... Is everything coming through okay?
Everything sounds great.
You know what we forgot to do?
What was that?
I forgot to do
commercials.
Yeah, so we'll have to double up next hour, okay?
Oh, great.
Yeah, the advertisers buy the Saturday special. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter if it's hour one or hour two, right?
Right, it's a good deal too.
Yeah, it's a wonderful deal, and yeah, in fact, you know, that's good. Thank you for saying that, Dave. I mean, maybe that'll give people ideas that they can get their advertising message out to our vast Saturday special listening audience on KSCO AM 1080. Okay, my clock says that it is 10:59 and 38:39:40. Am I right? Or you don't know because there's not a good clock in that studio, is there?
Well, actually, the best clock in here is the one on my wrist.
Okay.
And it's right on. You're right on the money.
Okay, good. So there's a whole lot more on the Bay Area Heyday Radio Saturday special here on KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey. It's 11 a.m. Here's Fox News.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen Stewart. Try again. That's the word from NASA officials about proceeding with preparations for tonight's Shuttle Discovery launch. Scheduled liftoff is at 8:47 p.m. Eastern Time. The only possible problem could be those high winds.
The weather is the only thing standing in their way. Everything else about the space shuttle is green. And in that case, they might as well just go on down the line and hope that weather calms enough at the launch time of 8:47 to get them off the ground.
That's Fox News Radio space analyst Jim Slade.
Adjourns.
Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist closing out the 109th Congress early this morning, where lawmakers passed a raft of bills, both big and small. The most significant involved tax breaks and trade benefits for developing countries. Not everybody happy, though, with the final session. Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid said the outgoing Republican-ruled Congress left Democrats with a, quote, tremendous mess. In Iraq, another American soldier has died. The U.S. military confirms a U.S. Marine was killed in Anbar province. Meantime, a car bomb today near a mosque in Karbala killed at least five people. Palestine's President Mahmoud Abbas says talks with Hamas remain stalled, and that has government leaders pressing for early elections.
The PLO Executive Committee recommends that the Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas scrap plans to form a national unity government with Hamas and call for early elections. Abbas has been negotiating for weeks with Hamas to form a joint government. The intention is to break the foreign aid blockade, which has strangled the Palestinian government ever since Hamas won elections.
That's Fox's Mike Tobin. Police in Chicago say the gunman who walked into a law firm's high-rise office and opened fire there told a security guard just before the shooting that he'd been cheated over his invention. Joe Jackson fatally shot three people. You're listening to Fox News Radio, Fair and Balanced.
Complicated. Rebuilding the space shuttle's jet engine with just a screwdriver and a crescent wrench.
Uncomplicated. Giving a gift to a worthy cause.
Complicated. Riding a stubborn camel bareback across the Sahara Desert.
Uncomplicated. Using your financial resources to help others.
Complicated. Sailing around the world in a homemade raft without a compass.
Uncomplicated. Donating stock to the American Heart Association. It's simpler than it seems. It's an easy way to make a donation, and your gift will do something even greater than creating a profit. It will help save lives. Donate before December 31st, and you'll quickly receive the benefits of your gift. To learn more about the advantages of a stock donation to the American Heart Association, call 1-800-242-8721. Take stock in life.
Complicated. Maneuvering a hot air balloon through a wind farm.
Uncomplicated. Helping give someone a second chance at life.
During his weekly radio address, President Bush says the Iraq Study Group's report has a real grasp of what it's going to take to help Iraq quickly.
The Iraq Study Group understands the urgency of getting it right in Iraq. The group also understands that while the work ahead will not be easy, success in Iraq is important and success in Iraq is possible.
In the Democratic response, incoming chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Texas Congressman Sylvester Reyes.
We've been fighting in Iraq longer than we fought in World War II. And yet we are no closer to achieving the mission.
Reyes says the report echoes what Democrats have been saying for months about what needs to be done in Iraq. Decision 2008. It appears to be a close race for the Republican presidential nomination. The latest Fox News poll shows former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani leading Arizona Senator John McCain by 2 points in a hypothetical matchup. Some strategists say McCain could benefit from Giuliani's liberal positions on a couple of issues.
McCain has been a maverick, but to his advantage, he also has Giuliani to run to his left, which will make it easier for him to position himself to the right.
That's Republican strategist Amy Holmes. The Donald making headlines today. His new development plans are taking him south of the border.
The Donald's latest venture is a luxury hotel condo on Mexico's booming Baja California coast. And even before it's gone up, customers are clamoring to buy in. At a sales event in San Diego that brought in about $122 million, Trump offered would-be buyers biscotti and espresso before the bidding and sirloin tips and fish tacos afterwards. Of course, it's not cheap. Apartments going from the mid-$200,000s to over $1 million. But one buyer said when the Donald puts his name on a site, That means a lot. Joan Furstenberg, Fox News Radio.
And a documentary airing in Britain tomorrow says DNA evidence proves the driver of Princess Diana's car the night she was killed was drunk. I'm Karen Stewart, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz, AM 1340 KOMY Watsonville. I'm Dave Michaels with your weather forecast for today, Saturday, December 9th, 2006. It looks like today you can expect showers with highs around 62 degrees. Wind should be south at 20 to 30 miles an hour. A chance of rain, 70%. Tonight, you can expect a steady rain, showers continuing overnight with lows around 45 degrees, wind south-southwest at 10 to 20 miles an hour. And an 80% chance of rain, and that rain reaching near a quarter of an inch. Tomorrow, windy conditions with rain early, then remaining cloudy with showers in the afternoon, highs around 60 degrees, winds south-southwest at 15 to 25 miles an hour. And your Monterey Bay boaters forecast for today, southwest winds 10 to 15 knots, rather, with wind waves 2 feet and a west swell 7 to 11 feet at 14 seconds, along with morning showers. It's 6 minutes after 11 and time to take you back to the Saturday special with your host MZ right here on AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz and AM 1340 KOMY Watsonville.
Hey Dave, are we there?
We are here.
Oh good. All right, you know, it's been called to my attention that we have a caller on the line here. Who's been on for quite a while. We haven't invited phone calls yet, but we will. I promise that we will. So Rick in Napa, Idaho, and Mark in Monterey, and whoever's on line three, stay with us. We will get, or you could hang up if you don't want to hang on, but and call back a little later on because we want to we want to cover a few more things here and get a few more recordings in before we go to the phone lines, okay? So I just wanted to acknowledge that you're there, and we appreciate it. And anybody else who wants to call in is welcome to call 479-1080 and go on hold, and you'll be able to hear the program while you're on hold. But it's the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO, and we will be on the air right up until noontime. Special guest is Dave Jackson, who is the director of the Bay Area Radio Museum. A great website that he's developed. It's www.bayarearadio.org. Fair warning, if you go to this and you have any responsibilities, you're going to shirk them. Because if it's like me, I couldn't tear myself away from it. There's so much great content on that website. It's just amazing. So anyhow, I think what we should do now, since it's hour number two of the Saturday special, is start the program officially. Okay, here, let's do that.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show.
All right, we've been scratching our head about what to do with KOMY or other radio station. Maybe it should be an old-time radio content 24 hours a day or something like that.
Yeah,
okay, stand by here.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to the KSCO Bye.
But how would we deal with a rights situation? I mean, who owns all this stuff? I mean, do you own it? I mean, did someone? I mean,
the rights issues on these things are interesting because a lot of the radio stations are defunct; they no longer exist. So, you know, who owns the rights to an Ira Blue recording or a Don Sherwood recording? Unless you know, the radio stations have been sold so many times, the people who worked for them, many of them are gone now. The one thing that we do know rights issues apply to is the music that's played within them, and those are always covered and always have to be paid for. But old programs, I'm not an expert on copyright laws, but you go back to the old Jack Benny programs and the old Fibber McGee and Molly's from the 1930s and 40s. Much of those are in public domain at this point. Many of them can be downloaded at no charge from different websites.
Right. Okay. Well, it's the Saturday special. That's Dave Jackson. I'm MZ. We've got Rick in Napa, Idaho, and Mark in Monterey on the phones. We're going to be getting to the phones, but before we get much further, we should do the commercials that we should have done last hour. What do you think, Dave? Are you there?
I'm here. I'm ready.
Okay. Okay. Take it away, Dave.
Hello?
Mark?
Yes.
Dennis here from Day and Night Computer.
Hey. What's up, Dennis?
Checking in on you, man. I haven't heard from you. Most of the time people get a new computer, they call me with a question or two.
I don't really have any questions yet.
But you're pretty happy with it, though, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I'm very, very happy with it, Dennis. It's very impressive. Thank you so very much. It's a godsend. It really is. Better than anything you could buy at the store, that's for sure. So everything's working good on it so far. Yeah, I'm just very grateful to you for selling me such a good computer. Maybe that's why I haven't called you, because it was working so good. It's so darn fast. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, is that what you like the most?
Yeah, the speed and the features that it has. You know, it's just a very nice computer.
Talk to Day and Night Computers. Call 465-7340. That's 465-7340. Do yourself a favor.
This is Judy DeVilbiss. Hi, you know what? Back in about March of this year, I actually took a flying leap off of my bicycle and landed right square on my knees and my chest. Thank God I didn't hit my head, but I did really rack up my knee big time. And you know what I did? I didn't go to the doctor. I just came home and started with ice packs, the essential oils, the trauma oil, and every day I rubbed a lot of the CM cream from Youngevity. I'm telling you what, the Youngevity products are something that can really take care of you. I did this regime probably straight for 4 weeks, and every day I was taking 3 of the CM capsules 3 times a day. I took care of myself, and you know what? Here it is now, and it did take a while, I'll admit, because, hey, you know what? I'm 66 years old. But you know what? I'm back on the bicycle, I'm running races, and I'm feeling great. Get started on the Youngevity products. Call 888-352-7500. Thanks.
Hi, you guys. It's me again. Now, I know you're all familiar with Dr. Wallach's great Youngevity supplements, but have you ever thought of all the great gift ideas that you can get from reading the Youngevity catalog? Of course, the gift of good health with a Pig Pack or Pig Pack Plus is priceless, but there are so many other ideas. Wonderful, indulgent skincare products and packages better than anything you find in the stores. Essential oils for aromatherapy, relaxing bath salts, pet products, products for the home, even soil conditioner for your favorite gardener. It's one-stop shopping for everyone on your list. I'm telling you, you really got to check out this catalog. Call me, Sophie Winnick, at 335-3216. 335-3216. I'll get you set up. Or email me at tastyvitamins@yahoo.com. You can even go to vitamingoddess.com. Check it out. You'll be glad you did. Vitamingoddess.com.
As the healthcare industry has changed dramatically, people have come to the realization that they are now responsible for their own health. The complementary health movement is now a multi-billion dollar industry and is growing at a remarkable pace. This is Connie Reeder. For over 6 years, I've been a distributor for American Longevity, now Youngevity. Great new name, same great products. With Youngevity products, you can take charge of your health. By starting a Youngevity home business, you can have a fun way to get your products free or make extra money. How would you like to earn an extra $100 a month, $100 a week, or $100 a day? Just like there are no silver bullets or magic potions for your health, there are very few winning lottery tickets out there for us to win. Millions of people have realized that they can run their own business from their home, which can make life pretty meaningful. Does that sound good to you? Are you ready to become part of the complementary health movement? Join me, Connie Reeder, and the rest of the Youngevity team for one of our info nights or training meetings. For times in Santa Cruz area, call Kirk at 831-335-1108. In the Salinas Monterey area, call Connie at 831-422-3400. Bring a friend.
We're back.
Are we back?
Hello, radio.
Yeah. Are we there, Dave?
We are here again.
Oh, okay. So, oh, God, the commercials ended, and I'm here talking with Dave Jackson. He and I can't stop talking because we're so into the subject here. You know what? Excuse me. Let's take Rick in Napa, Idaho. Okay, let's take his call here. If the pot's up, we'll say welcome to the Saturday special, Rick. Good to hear from you. Hello, Rick?
Yeah, I'm still here. Thank you. Yeah. The radio is really bad here in Idaho. It's on like Clear Channel and commercial radio. And then
well, you got to move back. What can we say?
Oh, I'd love to if I could afford a house. It's just so bad.
Yeah.
But, anyways, I don't know what happened to KFRC. I don't pick them up anymore. They seem to be religious. And I guess KYA is Indian now.
Well, Dave will tell you all that, you know. I know a little bit. Dave knows a lot more than I do. So.
Yeah, regretfully, KFRC has passed. CBS Radio, which was called Infinity, had an opportunity to buy a television station up in Sacramento. Through the FCC's logic, KFRC's signal carried far enough into Sacramento that it was considered a Sacramento radio signal. And to be able to buy the television station in Sacramento, CBS, in their wisdom, gave up a radio station that is one of the true legends of radio history, not just Bay Area. And it's got such
But the license didn't get turned in. It's just foreign language programming now, right?
Well, it's religious, it's now, right? It's now on 610. It's family radio, Harold Camping. No commercials. It makes its own money off of goodwill or free will donations of its listeners.
Uh-huh. Well, but there's been no power change or anything. The
not
coverage
at all.
Is
no.
The same, right?
No, you and I were over at KRE in Berkeley.
The, right, that's the, where the
studios
side
over
is.
There. That big, if you're ever driving through Berkeley and see a 600-foot radio tower off of 80, that tower is the ghost of KFRC.
And where I got my first paid
exactly
job in radio,
right.
Sitting in the same chair and talking in the same mic that Wolfman Jack talked in to 4 years later in American Graffiti. God.
And over the years, the different people who worked there, Walt Jamond and John Hamilton and Carter
John
Smith.
John Hamilton fired me from my first job.
Wow.
Yeah.
I spoke with John just the other day over at the Legends Lunch.
Give him some bleep for me, okay?
It shall be done.
That'd be great. All right, thanks. So Rick, we took you off here because there was some noise on the, but I'll put you back on. Anything else you need? We didn't want to cut you off here. You waited so long.
I thought it was my phone that did it because we were having a little bit of weather over here. We had a little bit of shower, so I figured the phone power had some trouble or something.
Wait a minute. December in the Nampa, Boise Metroplex, there's actually weather there this time? Go out and have some finger steaks.
We're supposed to get like a quarter of an inch of rain overnight, but it's been really cold.
Wow.
So, yeah, anyways, KFRC, I think it was about a year ago, they were playing oldies, and we could pick them up really clear here, and then all of a sudden we started getting religious broadcasts.
Exactly.
And I checked KYA, and now it's all, I guess it's Indian or something.
Well, the way KYA evolved was the real original KYA, which was owned by the Hearst Corporation from back in the 1920s, it evolved into a top 40 station, one of the big powerhouse top 40 radio stations, even though it had a little piddly signal from up near Candlestick Park. It actually died for all intents and purposes in the early 1980s when King Broadcasting sold it off to Bonneville International. It became KOIT AM. So right now it's just, again, it's a shell of its former self. It is the simulcast partner of KOIT playing light rock, less talk all the time over there. The KYA that you're talking about that now does Indian music is the KYAA over on the Monterey Bay side of things over there, and they tried a very good.
They're actually licensed to the
SoCal?
The city of SoCal.
SoCal, of course.
Right.
But they made a very valiant effort at bringing back the original KYA with the jingles, with the formatics, and everything else on it, and. They gave it a valiant effort, and then they decided they wanted to make money instead, which is makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, we talk about KFRC. KFRC moved the oldies format over to their FM side and tried
well,
to.
Well, it was always there, wasn't it? Wasn't it just simulcast?
The original KFRC FM was 106.1, which is now KMEL and has been KMEL forever because a lot of station owners gave up on their FM signals because in the Bay Area with the hills and the way it's spread out and everything else, an FM signal just didn't give you the coverage.
Yeah.
But yet the AM stations hung on for ever around here. But KFRC finally lost its oldies. They went to the move-in format and now play a rhythmic AC oriented towards 24 to 35 aged women, I believe. And I do a little silly blog on as part of the museum website and received more vitriolic comment over the change from oldies to this newer format. It's like, we want our KFRC back. Well,
we do.
Yeah. There's a lot of formats that are gone over. Yeah. You know, radio evolves the same way television does. You don't see the Danny Thomas show on television anymore.
Well,
but
maybe
people
are passionate about this. Maybe we should do the oldies on KOMY.
When do you want to start? I got a list of 20 guys who jump in right now to be disc jockeys on that station. You know, if it's run like the top 40 stations instead of an oldies jukebox where you're playing the same songs over and over again, that's a problem. If you're playing a playlist that's creative, that makes people nostalgic for it, that is not, you know, that has disc jockeys with personality.
The trouble is there's no money to pay talent. I mean, that's the problem. That's always been the problem for as long as I've had the radio station going on 16 years now. I mean, you know,
But wasn't there a time, you know,
washing dirty laundry on the radio, ladies and gentlemen, but you're certainly used to that on this radio station.
There was a time, though, in radio where people wanted to get into radio because, hey, you're in show business. And
I do it for free. I told them. I said, let me sweep the floors.
See, that's the part of I do the same thing, too. I've got a real job. I would do this for fun.
Anybody out there who will do it for fun? Anybody out there who will program KOMY for fun? You know, we still want to be able to. Dave's hands just went up.
We're going to talk.
Okay, we're going to talk.
We should go back to
Let's go back to Mark in Monterey, who's been waiting a long time. Hey, Mark, you're on the air.
Hey, Mark.
Thanks, and what a great subject for a program this is.
Oh, it's that, Mark. I should have known.
Hey, you know, what's really cool about this, and the reason why you're able to do this program is because, you know, both of you grew up in Northern California. And one of my gripes with Bay Area radio is that the way a lot of the stations are programmed and a lot of the attitude out there is that the Bay Area, you know, appeared in 1985. It's like the Auslanders came into the business, took over all the stations, and there's never any, you know, any respect or credence given to anything that existed before they showed up and took over.
Yeah, true, absolutely true.
And you know, the fellow in Idaho says, gee, I'd like to move back there. Why? The radio in the Bay Area is no longer than what you get in Idaho.
Mark, you can go to Wichita, Kansas, or Wichita Falls, Texas. You could go to Louisville, Kentucky, or you could go to Duluth, Minnesota, and your radio stations are going to sound the same in all of them. You're going to have a KISS. You're going to have a Power. You're going to have, you know, all of these stations that are all done to, you know, one format with voice tracks by guys, you know, sitting in a studio someplace else. In the Bay Area, and you know, having grown up here, we had stations that were specifically Bay Area centric. We had cable. Well, cable meant cable cars. Those call letters are now down in Salinas. Where they
you're talking
nothing.
You're talking to the guy who owns them almost, right? Are we allowed to say that, Mark?
Oh, hi, Mark.
Hey, hi.
Okay, I mean, I didn't want to blow your cover. Are we allowed to say who you are? Because I'd like to, if it's okay with you.
That's fine.
Okay, this is Mark Carbonara. He's a radio. This guy's a radio icon himself, and
I'm just a radio junkie. I don't want to go that far.
No, he's a radio icon. He's been in the radio business for as long as I can remember in the Monterey Bay Area, and I wish he was with us. I really do, but I can't get him away from Clear Channel.
But you know, Michael, one of the things, and you were talking about KFRC and the oldies format, and always loved oldies format. But, you know, the big gripe that I had with particularly oldies formats in the Bay Area, and I've got a buddy that feels the same way, is that they've always been very pedestrian. They never really programmed the format to people who love the music.
Agreed.
And I'll give a perfect example. If you went to New York and you listened to CBS FM during its heyday in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, that station was... Basically, it was a rip-off of the original WABC. They used the reverb on the mics. They brought back a lot of the original disc jockeys.
Right.
They would, like, every year or so, they would do something called the New York Disc Jockeys Radio Reunion. Not only would they bring back, on the air for a weekend, all of the great WABC disc jockeys, but they'd bring back the guys from Wins and WMCA and all the and they put them all on the air. Now, if you said to a Bay Area program director, how about a tribute weekend to one of our old radio stations, they would look at you like your brains were falling out of your head.
Mark, guess who's tried that? You know, and it's they look at you like, well, you know, that's going to bust format. We can't do that. And I understand it on a certain level.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the other hand, I could just imagine from the nostalgia standpoint, the kind of events that you could have if you brought back all. I see all these guys. I John McFlanagan, Tom Campbell, all these guys. Johnny Holiday. Lee Baby Sims, all these different people are out there and about, and just, you know, a lot of them are just waiting for an opportunity.
Yeah, and I think you're right about
that. Tom Campbell's not looking for an opportunity. He's already made his, he's filled his wallet. He's set.
But, you know, that's the thing, is that we don't get very interesting or exciting radio any longer. I'd say probably about the mid-'80s is when radio in the Bay Area started kind of go down the tubes, and it's just like anywhere else. It doesn't... You know, I understand why a lot of kids don't want to go into the business.
Are you saying the mid-'80s? Because isn't that about when Dr. Don retired?
He worked for a little while after that. KFRC, the original Big 610 KFRC era ended in October of 1986. After that, all of the rest of them were just somebody carrying on those call letters through history.
Right. Yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt, Mark. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. I was just going to say that it was... You know, kind of in the mid-'80s is when things kind of started to get homogenized and go down.
Agreed.
And, you know, the thing is that the kind of radio that we grew up on, like you and I, Michael and David, is what made us want to go into the business. The reason why kids don't want to go into the business today, you listen to the radio, there's no inspiration.
Right.
There really isn't.
A disc jockey these days is a guy who takes one record and another record and mashes them together and is considered a disc jockey, where there was an entire style and a skill set to being a disc jockey. I mean, you don't have to slip cue a record anymore to be a disc jockey. You can, you know, run your own radio station from your home if you had to. But, you know, those days are gone. I don't think there's anything for anybody who'd be interested to go into radio. There's really no there at this point, it seems.
Guys, I'm going to jump off here and let somebody else get on. But
thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Appreciate your call. Billy Sunshine, you're next on the KSCO special. You're on.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. So, one of your sayings I really love is sort of interesting for this program because you're saying, where's all the personality radio? But in my mind, I hear echoing around the saying, the famous MZ saying, "Wow, all these talk show hosts, they have too much ego." Right?
Yeah.
Aren't those two things mutually exclusive?
Well, ego equals personality, I suppose.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Okay.
And then I'd like to suggest a particular moment in radio that I think should be in the museum.
Okay.
It was on KSCO where the election return... when the guy who became attorney, John Ashcroft, was running against the guy who happened to have passed away during the election, the line came down, "The dead guy won." I thought that was a great election line. I said it. I'm the first guy to say the dead guy won in reference to Ashcroft.
Oh, okay.
And so I think that should be a tape you share with the museum.
Well, part of my purpose for being here today is that after we did our Bay Area Radio Hall of Fame presentation and had Frank Dill and Al Hart and Ken Ackerman.
You don't normally nominate yourself, though, and that's what this man is doing.
But that's why you have friends. You know, that's exactly what you do.
Yeah, okay.
Your name has been added to the list.
I would have liked to nominate.
Wow.
Pretty soon.
Michael, also, I would suggest that...
There will be a slight charge, Billy.
Michael, I think also another point of great radio, you talk about great listening radio, would be our altercation.
Yeah.
When you threw me out of the studio.
Yeah.
That was great radio.
For being rude to Roy.
Yeah.
Do you and Roy get along these days, by the way?
We haven't spoken. I'm sure we'd get along fine and... You know, until such time as it became more fun to attack him, you know.
He said you were behaving yourself for a while and that you felt very bad and had mended your ways.
No, that's certainly not the case.
Not true.
That's
not
Roy
true.
Having a fantasy.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for the call. We'll see you later. Bye-bye. 479-1080 is the phone number if you want to chip into the radio conversation. Don't bother if you don't want, because if we don't get any callers, Dave and I can go on for hours and hours and hours.
We can babble endlessly.
We can preempt the next program, but we better not do that because we need the money. Anyhow, let's see. Hey, what about Sherwood? Shouldn't we do something with Sherwood?
I've got some Sherwood here.
You got some good Sherwood?
Yeah, I got some Sherwood.
You know, with
Sherwood
the laughing
here.
And the yammy yogurt ads and all that kind of stuff.
The thing about Sherwood with that laugh, before I ever heard Sherwood, I read about Sherwood's laugh and how even little kids, it was a sign that you were doing something wrong with raising your kids if your kids started doing the Don Sherwood laugh, which was a combination of whiskey and cigarettes and, you know, being up all night and everything else. I don't know if I have anything that has specifically his laugh on it, but,
By the way, Dave Michaels back at KSCO, I think this would be a good time to get Greg Sherwood online if we can. I called his cell phone earlier today with a heads up saying we might be calling him, just a reminder. So if you can get on line 6, and call Greg on that phone number that I will not give out on the air to protect his privacy. And when I see that line 6 is active, we'll bring Greg into the conversation if we can get him. So I'd appreciate that if you can grab that number, Dave. So we got something from...
I've got Hap Harper, who was the original, the world's first airborne traffic reporter.
Who just died.
Who
like,
just passed away recently.
Like 2 or 3 weeks ago
exactly
or something.
Exactly right, yeah. And... he worked for, he was originally a neighbor of Don Sherwood living down in, down on the peninsula. And, from there, became Sherwood's, airborne taxi when they'd go up to Tahoe or different locations, Clear Lake. And, Hap one day was flying up in the air and they were talking on the air and he said, "Hey, there's an accident on the Bay Bridge," and thus was born the first ever airborne, traffic reporter.
I didn't know that. Wow.
They had a long and bantering, friendship with each other on the air.
Hap's widow, Lori, is that her name?
Lori Harper was the one previous to the one who he was married to. Lori was the one who wrote the biography.
The biography on Don Sherwood. A great book called World's Greatest Disc Jockey?
Don Sherwood, The Life and Times of the World's Greatest Disc Jockey. And you can still find it on Amazon.com.
Sure. Yeah.
Terrific book. But
you got some. I think we're all hooked up if you want to.
Let's see if we can fire this off here. I make no guarantees.
Okay, it's 11:31 on AM 1080 KSCO, and we're talking Bay Area Radio, and there it is.
And yes, and they got a. you could say that, I guess. Yeah. I wondered what that was following Harper around. Yeah. Must have happened while he was digging his out. His harbor. He was out there working there. Hello, Hap. How are you?
Fine. Hey, what's your problem?
Have you got it in the plane with you, Mom?
Yeah.
Good. Take good care of it, will you?
Were they really drinking?
Quite possibly.
Oh, come on.
Well, what's cooking?
Boy, is it windy up here.
Is it really?
Yeah, I haven't moved for about 10 minutes.
Nobody has a laugh like that.
God, this is real radio now.
That should be a sound
effect. Yeah, well, pilots are normally pretty healthy, I guess.
I'm gonna go home and build a ferry boat.
Bye.
What else do you have from Sherwood,
Dave? Let me see if I can.
Do you have any of the yammy yogurt ads?
No.
Hello,
yammy yogurt.
Ed, you're fired. You know that.
I have no yammy is something yummy yogurt ads, but I do have Don doing a series of ads for the Hillsdale Shopping Center Farmers Market, where he does a variety of voices, including Liberace and Jack Benny as well. He, very versatile, very talented guy, very good singer.
Uh-huh.
He was not a great singer. He was probably in his mind one of the greatest singers, but he could carry a tune quite well.
So you got that?
I'm looking on here. Let me see. I've got one here that says Don Sherwood impersonations. What, can we just go ahead and fire
sure,
that one up?
Let's yeah.
do it.
As long as it won't get us fined.
Uh-oh. Hang on a second.
And I'm sure it won't because, you know,
No, those were different times. Yeah. Don Sherwood was, I guess, could probably be best described as the pre-Howard Stern, Howard Stern. He, okay, that file ain't going to play for some reason.
He was risque, I guess, yeah, but he wasn't.
He was, but it was the same kind of thing like we heard in that clip right there where he was talking about, you know, is it kind of windy up there? That had nothing to do with the winds aloft. That had more to do with spontaneous body combustions, I'm sure. But that's what they were trying to get around was
intense gust of air from
the
lower.
That would be correct. Why don't we play the farmer's market?
It's different. It's fun. Come with me to the Parisian cafes in fabulous Farmers Lane at Hillsdale Shopping Center, San Mateo. Don't be afraid. Don't miss that fabulous Farmers Market at Hillsdale Shopping Center, San Mateo. It's different, and you're going to have fun. Oh, Mary, you'll love shopping at that fabulous Farmers Market. Gee, it's so inexpensive.
I say, Governor, you just have to see that fabulous farmer's market. That's at Hillsdale Shopping Center. Hillsdale, that's with an H, in San Mateo. You'll have a popping good time, you will.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've got some wonderful news for you. Just don't miss that wonderful farmer's market at Hillsdale Shopping Center in San Mateo. It's wonderful.
That was wonderful. I mean, the impression was wonderful. That's
really
better. More like Liberace than Liberace. More like Benny than Benny.
The one clip that I wanted to play had him doing an impersonation of Nat King Cole that was absolutely spot on. I mean, it was hard. I was trying to fire it off, and for some reason, regretfully, it appears to have gone bye-bye.
Well, it's probably around somewhere. But, hey, guess who we have on the phone? We have none other than Don Sherwood's issue, that being his son Greg. Hey, Greg, welcome to KSU.
Hey.
We're doing great. I mean, I'm having a great time today. One of the best times I've ever had.
Fun, though. I've never heard those Hillsdale spots before.
Those actually came from the collection of, and this will probably be a big surprise, Ken Ackerman.
No, I didn't know those even existed. You know, so little of that stuff from that era exists. But it's always somebody like that that, you know, saved it, and then you find out about it. That was a lot of fun to hear. He always was good with voices, but I don't remember ever hearing him do Liberace. That's one. There were a lot that he used to do even around the house, but the Liberace I don't recall. That was quite good.
Well, Greg, I'll mention to you, just yesterday I go to my mailbox, open it up, and a fellow from up in Sacramento who said while he was, you know, a small kid, he'd just turn on his tape recorder, and here he sent me a CD that had things I'd never heard before of Don Sherwood. And that's, I think, part of the joy of this. At the Legends Lunch the other day, I stand there, and people walk by, and they're like paying tribute. They walk by and go, here, Chris Borden hands me a shopping bag full of recordings and photographs. As I'm walking through there, people are handing me, hey, I've got this CD for you.
Oh,
and that's how.
Yeah, you're going to become the repository for all this.
I'm going to become the what? Repository. Okay,
I
beg your pardon. I'm sorry.
No, that was fun. No, that is great. Well, I'm really looking forward to seeing how you're going to manage all that stuff.
Well, right. we had 26,000 files on the website, and it grows each and every day. Well, our server crashed. Anybody who goes to the website may find occasional gaps in there, in which case email me because it's, you know, I'm trying to push things on, but people always find something that they want to hear. We've got Mel Torme singing KSFO jingles. We've got Bill King doing Giants games. We've got Don Sherwood and Bill Dana. Bill Dana doing Jose Jimenez. Just plain Rosita, Super Frog with Carter B and Don Sherwood. Just some amazing stuff.
Well, you're doing really well. It sounds like you've got more of that stuff than I do, which is really my problem.
Well, clearly, I asked you about if you had any clips, and you said, I don't have any. And Dave overheard me. He says, I got plenty. And he does. Boy,
yeah,
does
he. No, that's good. I mean, my father was not one for keeping stuff. He did not. He lived on a boat the last 10, 15 years of his life. He literally threw everything away. So when he died, I was able to put everything he owned in the back of my Honda Accord.
Wow.
He was not some, but he was somebody who didn't believe in stuff, clothes, cars.
My kind of guy. That's great.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Did you used to go to work with your dad at all?
I went to work with him every morning. During the summer, I'd get up every morning. He'd get up at 6, and he lived a few blocks away from the station. I'd get up, like, at 7 and get there an hour later. And then, but the real fun was sitting there watching him do the show and then go to breakfast with any number of people from, you know, Anthony Newley to whoever he was interviewing that morning. We would go upstairs to the breakfast place at the Fairmont and have, you know, Henry Mancini, comedians. It was just a great thing for me as a, you know, 15, 16-year-old kid being able to sit around with some of these great comics.
Well, you also at one point got to take a very famous trip to Paris, France with him, did you not?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. With where we spent a week with Pia Lindstrom, the daughter of...
Wow! Yeah, she was on AM San Francisco with Jim Dunbar on ABC for a long time, right?
She went to New York, and she had a long career in New York on television. But she and my dad were going out pretty seriously back when I was about 10 or 11 years old. So I did a two-week trip with them in Europe, which I didn't realize because at 10 years old, I had no idea who Ingrid Bergman was. Pia Lindstrom was just this attractive woman my father was going out with. It wasn't until I fell in love with Casablanca and Bogey and all that I realized that my grandmother-in-law could have been Ingrid Bergman.
Wow, unbelievable. Yeah, there is a recording on the website where he talks about Montmartre and all the different parts of France and almost wistful in comparing San Francisco and different parts of San Francisco to Paris. So that must have been pretty fresh right after that time.
He dragged me out of bed at something like 4 in the morning so we could go to Les Halles where the marketplace was. It's no longer there. It used to be in central France. It was their farmer's market, and it was just magical. I've gone back to France and Paris many times since, and I always brings back those memories. He loved it there. He loved it there, and he loved it in England. You know?
Oh, man.
But he loved it here most of all. He was the most parochial of people in one sense. There was no way you couldn't tear him away from San Francisco. He just loved the city.
Didn't he do a stint in Hawaii for a while? Didn't he buy part of a radio station, if I'm not mistaken,
He got caught into a deal... And he was miserable after the first week, so he ended up spending about 6 months there and then figured out a way to get out of the contract. He was going to try. He was pissed off at the management at KSFO because they, you know, any number of altercations he was always having with them, so he thought he'd go make his fortune in Hawaii.
Was this when did he trade places with the legendary Jay Akuhead Pupule for a while?
He had traded places with him once. But that wasn't this deal. This deal came later, and in fact, in this deal, he was being hired to compete against Akuhead.
Uh-huh.
And the idea was he was going to see if he could unseat Akuhead, who was the Don Sherwood of morning radio in Hawaii. And he was not successful at it, and he was miserable in Hawaii, and all he wanted to do was come back. And so it was probably one of the most miserable 6 months of his life, and he did end up coming back on the air at KSFO.
Which owned San Francisco at that time and could leave and come back at any time without skipping a beat.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, he was not, they always took him back. He was the classic prodigal son, you know. He'd go off and he did, you know, different kind of stints. We did a stint in the late 60s, he thought, so... His contract with KSFO did not allow him to take any competitive job in the market on a radio station. So in the early years of Channel 44, we tried doing his radio show on TV. This was in 1969, 1970. And
well, now that you're not talking about the Sherwood Smith report on 44. That came later,
no,
or was that it?
A little later. That was a little different, but. This was actually 6 to 9 in the morning, and there was a way, it was essentially a loophole in the contract. He said he couldn't do radio, but it didn't say he couldn't do his radio show on TV.
Right.
So essentially he spun records. They put an image of an old radio on the screen because they weren't even televising him. And I was fresh out of high school, and I was doing the weather and reading the news, I think, on this show. It was out of 44, which at the time was right downtown. And it was you know, it was an idea that was way in front of its time.
Oh, yeah.
Most of his listeners were listening in the car or on the radio.
It was like today's webcams, you know, at stations.
Yeah, exactly. It was a great idea, but the technology did not afford the audience to find him there. So ultimately, I don't remember how long we did it. We did maybe did it for 3 months or so, and it didn't work out. But I remember it being a very interesting experience, particularly since he would once he got frustrated with it, he showed up for that show even less than he showed up for his gig at KSFO. You know, so I was left holding the bag with any number of co-hosts on that show, and I have no idea. It was one of those things where you're doing a show and you don't know if 3 people are listening or you know, 3,000. It was very very experimental.
Well, now I remember reading a story in Newsweek back in the would have been in the mid '60s about a new record price that had been paid, the highest price paid ever. I don't remember exactly what the amount was. I think it was like $115 or something like that back then. Maybe I'm wrong about the number, but it was a record price that had ever been paid for a local spot on local radio. And it was at KSFO, and it was during your dad's program.
Oh, no, that doesn't surprise me at all. I remember, and I don't remember the absolute numbers, and they wouldn't make sense to us these days anyway because they're so small. But literally to get, there was a period of time on KSFO when you essentially had to get in line. There was something like a 6 waiting list to buy into his program in the 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. slot. And if you wanted to be on that slot, you had to buy the rest of the day part. They essentially held you hostage. And you had to buy the, it wasn't that the day parts were bad, but they were just less, they were less premium. And so essentially, they sold out their whole day's worth of radio schedule by leveraging and that 6 to 9 slot. It was so incredibly popular. And as you guys know, what really tickled the sponsors was for my father to start to give them a bad time. You know, a lot of spots were just written instead of pre-produced, so he could have fun with the copy and that was off limits
at most radio stations, but they encouraged it with him, whether it was a bread sponsor or a gas company or whatever.
Live reads are always most effective.
I remember meeting Les Vogel. Mm-hmm. He had a dealership down Chevrolet. On the peninsula, a Chevrolet dealership, I think. And I remember meeting him years later, and he said, nothing made me happier than to have your dad just skewer me on the air, because I heard about it for weeks and weeks with customers coming in later. Geez, I heard Don gave you the, and you know, just there couldn't be anything better for business than to have my father give you a bad time.
Wow. Greg, can you stay with us for the balance of the program, about 13 minutes or so?
Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be great. Let me take some other phone calls here. Bill in Watsonville wants to contribute. He has an idea for best moments in Bay Area radio or something like that. So, Bill, is it our Bill?
Yeah. Hi, MZ.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, good. Back in the mid-90s, we used to listen to KNBR with Frank Dill before he retired. And there was a spot that came on at 8:05 with John Madden. And it started out only in the football season, but the two of them clicked so well that they made it a regular feature all year round. And they used to banter back and forth like crazy. And the one that really stands out in my mind is when John borrowed Frank's Ping golf bag to do a photo spread for a magazine and then refused to give it back to him. And he was holding it ransom for money for charity.
Oh, great.
One time, John said he was walking through the lobby of a hotel in Dallas, and somebody hollered, "Hey, John, give Frank back his golf bag." And that was, I thought that was really interesting in the 90s that talk radio could still have that kind of a spread.
Uh-huh. But you look at it also from the standpoint that at our lunch the other day for the Hall of Fame, KNBR was represented by Frank Dill. You know, Frank was there at that time. They have moved on from that time. You know, at one time, you could listen in the morning and have Frank Dill, Mike Cleary, Carter B. Smith. Everybody throughout the day, they had the big network sounding newscasters like Bob Blazich and Gene DiCardo and all these people who were on there. And now you've got guys on the radio station. I'm not specifically KNBR, but it sounds like it's across the board. But you hear guys on the station who sound like they're fresh out of high school. It's their first job, you know. And here's the traffic report, Mr. Radnich. Well, that was mean spirit.
Bill, thanks for your call to the Saturday special. John in Santa Cruz has questions for Greg Sherwood. You're on, John. Go. Hello, John. You're
on. Sean.
Oh, Sean. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah. Hey, just a couple of things. I used to listen. I worked at the United Airlines back in the late 60s, and he used to have his show. Once in a while, he'd have his show off out of Coyote Point off the Monte Vandar. And
absolutely, yeah.
And Carter B. Smith and those guys would do that show there. And one of his most infamous and person I knew was Parky Sharkey. And I don't view him in.
Oh yeah, I remember Parky.
Remember Parky?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that was great times then. I'll tell you, he was great.
Well, you know what was? You bring up something really, Parky Sharkey. What my dad was really great at, and it's become sort of a common thing for people in this business and even on television too, is he really had a knack for finding characters.
Sort of God,
every
yeah.
Men off the wall characters that lived in and around San Francisco and the Bay Area, and he just loved to chat with them. And he found the humanity and the humor in these people. And Parky Sharkey was just a classic example. There was Cookie Pichetti down in the.
Your dad was the radio version of Herb Cain, right?
Yeah, I mean it was very similar, there was something he'd latch on to somebody or hear about somebody or meet somebody, and you wouldn't see anything in it, and he would just go, "I love that guy. There's something about him that," and he could just having a conversation with somebody would become a delightful little interchange because he knew that these people. I'm trying to remember the guy. Maybe one of you guys will remember who was the guy that he had that was out in the avenues who did weather for him. And this was he was a guy that lived with his mom.
Well, I'm looking at on the website right now. We have a thing called the Sherwood Family Portrait, and it has on there all the different people, including Parky Sharkey. Charles Homer Smith, Charlie Smith. They actually have
his engineer. Of course.
His engineer. Yeah. One of the things I just received yesterday was farewell to Charlie Smith. A recording of Don Sherwood saying goodbye to Charlie after 7 years. But the picture has Steve Brown, Chet Castleman, Mike Powell, Steve Deadstick Crowley, Jeff Scove, Parky Sharkey, Carter Blakemore Smith, Don Sherwood, Charlie Smith, Lonesome Marcel, and the famous Just Plain Rosita.
That's a very I remember that picture, a beautiful blonde in a bikini. Right?
Bingo, exactly right.
But that was a promotional photograph that they put together. I don't know when, and probably in the 60s at some point. I still have a copy of that.
Oh, do you? Yeah.
Great picture. He really had a knack for not only doing voices but finding wonderful people out in the neighborhood that just tickled him, and if they tickled him, he would have fun with them on the air, and it was a delight for everybody.
And he managed to drag in no matter who it was at different points. You know, he'd involve whether it was Vernon Alley or whether it was Herb Cain. Different personalities from around town. So it wasn't just a one-man show. He'd get people like Hap involved.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, you know what we need to do? I hate to do this, but we need to get to a commercial break here, because we're a little late for that, but better late than never. So we'll be back in about 2.5 minutes. Stay with us. There's more with Greg Sherwood, and we'll try to get to Nick in Aptos, Diane in Monterey, Sean in San... Oh, we already have Sean in Santa Cruz, and Bob in Live Oak and so forth. How are we going to do this? All right, stand by. Take it away, Dave Michaels.
Property owners, save time, money, and lots of pain. Hello, I'm Michael Dufresne of Able Tractor, a licensed contractor in Santa Cruz County since 1982. When you need to dig trenches, clear brush, grade slopes, improve roads, or just move dirt, call for a free estimate, 464-0551. That's 464-0551. Rescape your landscape and save time, money, and lots of pain with Able Tractor. 464-0551. That's 464-0551.
Climb a mountain, fish a stream, hike a trail, live your dream, play a sport, ski a slope or lake. We get outdoors for adventure's sake. Outdoor World gives you for adventure. Outdoor World outfits you with pride. Outdoor World knows the fun you're in for. Outdoor World for the great outside.
Shop early, save early with great gift ideas from Outdoor World. 50% off hooded down jackets, camouflage thermal sweatshirt, and flannel shirt jackets. Save on Columbia rainwear, Akuma fishing reels, and Tippmann paintball markers. Find more savings in our ad and the good times in the Monterey County Weekly.
Running rapids is never boring. Set up camp and go exploring around the campfire when day ends with your family or friends. Outdoor World gives you more adventure. Outdoor World outfits you with pride. Outdoor World knows the fun you're in for. Outdoor World for the great outside.
It's the perfect gift.
Gary, what's happening at Gem Brokers this holiday season?
It's a rainbow of gem colors and diamonds, Gina. We have a huge collection of stones and fine jewelry at Gem Brokers. Aquamarines, emeralds, garnets, opals, rubies, sapphires, tanzanites, topaz, tourmalines, and diamonds. Whatever your wish, Gem Brokers has your color.
Sounds like the perfect opportunity to do the ultimate gift shopping for your someone special.
Absolutely. Select from our collection of one-of-a-kind custom jewelry and gems. Exceptional values and stunning designs.
Wow. Totally unique and lasting forever. The perfect gift.
And here's the best part, Gina. At Gem Brokers, we feature high quality jewelry and gems for every budget. Shoppers won't have to spend a fortune for a gift that is totally unique.
Like I said, Gary, Gem Brokers is the ideal store to find the perfect gift.
It's Gem Brokers, 129 South River Street, Santa Cruz, for your ultimate holiday gift.
Okay, welcome back to the closing minutes of the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO, your favorite radio station. We're talking with Greg Sherwood, son of Don Sherwood, world's greatest disc jockey, and Dave Jackson from the museum, Bay Area Radio Museum. And you, the callers, okay, Nick and Aptos, you got a quick question for Greg. Go, you're on.
Hey, hi. What a pleasure. Greg, I just wanted to tell you, I am and have an original club card membership.
No, well, that goes back.
And pin. Met your dad twice at the station because of that. I flew with Hap Harper twice, my wife and I. I've got doc certificate from, what was it, Gold West Aviation that he and Hap were going to put at the San Carlos airport.
Yeah.
And I've got the book that they put out on Porky Sharky.
Oh, that's amazing. That's club pins. That goes back to the middle 50s.
50s, yeah. Well, I remember your dad from K&E, Nick and Nudnik.
Well, then that goes even back. That's very early 1950s.
Yeah,
I think.
He was and is the world's greatest disc jockey.
You're not going to get any complaints from me about that.
Yeah,
or anybody out there. Thank you, Nick. Appreciate your call to the Saturday special. Here's Diane in Monterey about Herb Cain. What's going on, Diane?
Hi, Michael.
Hey, haven't heard from you in a while. So.
Right, I'm up in San Francisco at my son's house.
Oh.
And he, by the way, he has a degree in broadcasting and communication.
Great.
Plug.
You won't believe this. I was telling my other son all about Don Sherwood this morning because he's in Herb Cain's book, and we were going through Herb Cain's book, The World of Herb Cain.
Mm-hmm.
And Don Sherwood's in the book.
Is that the picture of them at the racetrack together wearing
right.
their silks?
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's the big picture.
On
yeah.
page 21. And so they have the, yeah. But another thing I'd like to mention is my mother, you know. He was on our radio all the time. And he was also on television, right?
Oh, yeah. He had a very popular nightly show. On the first one, I think, was the first big one was San Francisco Tonight on
right.
ABC.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an hour-long show, much in the same vein as the Johnny Carson show,
mm-hmm.
or more recently, Letterman, where he interviewed people sang, he sang, was a In fact, Vernon Alley, who you mentioned earlier, was the there was a combo on the show, and Vernon Alley was the director of that little combo. In fact, I was interviewing Johnny Mathis just last Monday on Channel 9, and I said, "Do you remember my dad?" And he said, "Remember your dad? He was an icon. He's the first guy that ever gave me a break on TV. I think he's really one of the people responsible for my getting out of the local realm into the big time." So
I remember those days. My mother either had him on a radio, and then I remember a time he was on the TV. And I it's just so ironic, though. We were talking about him this morning, and I was telling my son all about him when I saw him. I said, "Oh, here's John Sherwood." And then I went into telling him.
Believe it or not, there was a period of time during the height of the craziness. He did the morning drive, he did the afternoon drive, and he did an hour-long television show at night, Monday through Friday. He was out of his mind. They were just trying to suck every little bit of juice out of him because he was popular.
Wonderful talking with you.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Diana Monterey. Hey, guess what? We got 15 seconds, 14, 13. But you know what? We're going to executive decision here. Since we missed out on, 15, 20 minutes at the head of the program, we're going to dispense with Fox News at the top of the hour. I can do that. Nobody else can.
How can you do that?
I can just do that. I'm going to do that, yeah. So I will give the legal ID, though. It's KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey. It's 12 noon. And we're going to finish up probably another 5 minutes here for this Saturday special, because we got Sean in Santa Cruz, I think, was cut off earlier, and Bob in Live Oak, who used to be a DJ. But at Cape, okay, go ahead, Bob. You're on the air here.
Yeah, good morning, guys, and I'll make it quick. Are you interested, Dave, in a CD taken off the air of 50 minutes from KPEN? And,
you don't even have to say anything beyond "Am I interested in?" Because I usually, when I get these kind of calls, the next answer I start blurting out is yes, and how soon can you get it to me? You have KPEN with James Gabbard on it?
No, with me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I followed Steve Waldy when he had 8 hours a day, 5 days a week of classical. And then I followed Steve Waldy for about 6 weeks, and then he switched over to rock. And so I was going in every day doing 8 hours of classical, doing the programming, the news, everything. And all these, you know, wannabe rock DJs were so jealous because all they would get is 3 minutes.
Do me a favor, if you wouldn't mind. Go to the website. Down at the bottom of most every page, there's a little link that says email the curator or something goofy like that. Hit the button. Send me an email. Let me know what you've got. And, you know, we'll pay for all shipping fees and I'll get you my address
maybe
and everything
you can email
else.
Email at MP3 to you or something like that. Anyhow,
okay, I'm on the website, so yeah, I'll get it to you. Somebody recorded it off the air on 10.5-inch tape and then made it. I got a CD recently.
Thanks
beautiful.
For calling.
Okay,
thank you. Here's Sean in Santa Cruz. Was it back again? Hey, Sean. Sorry, you're on.
We
only got
that.
A minute or two, so
yeah, I got hung up. One last thing for Greg on the TV show. Remember the old picture of orange juice, and then. The other thing that I would like Jeff to mention was something about, you remember the old KWBR and KDIA, Warner Brothers station?
Oh, absolutely.
Played all rhythm and blues.
Those were one of
them. Barksdale and those guys.
Oh, yeah. Bouncing Bill Doubleday and Jumpin'
right.
George Oxford and all those guys. Yeah.
All those guys. And that was great timing. And getting back to that, we, all of us kids, listened to KWBR.
Which became KDIA later, yeah.
Which became KDIA. Warner Brothers sold it to and
Sonderling family.
You know what? We gotta do not just a special, but we have to have a regular program, you know,
you
of this. This is what we have to do.
So much
not
fun.
Just do it. There's no end to it. There's no end to it. I mean, Greg, we could do 2 hours with Greg, you know, every 2 hours.
I'm sure
you know,
there's
just
more people like sure more
2 hours with Dave. Oh, my God. But anyhow, thank you very much for calling, Sean. Wish we had more time. We're already 2.5+ minutes into the news, and we gotta make way for the changing of the guards in the studio back for the perspectives people coming in next on your favorite radio station. So I want to take this opportunity to thank Greg Sherwood. Greg, will you come back with us again sometime?
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure. I'm so glad that this historical stuff is being put someplace where everybody can enjoy it.
I think we need to do a format. I've got a station that I don't know quite what to do with called AM 1340 KOMY. And maybe there's something that Dave and I can talk about.
Oh, you know it.
The classics channel, right?
Yeah,
exactly right.
All right. Okay, hey, thanks. Well, thanks a lot. Best to you. And take care. Appreciate
your
being on the show.
Everybody. Thank
to you too, Greg. Thank you.
There goes Greg Sherwin. I want to thank you, Dave Jackson, making one of the, at least for me, one of the most enjoyable Saturday specials.
Well, this is terrific. I really enjoy it. You know, I could babble about this for another 24 hours if we had the time. I really appreciate the opportunity.
I'm sure. Well, great. So, I'm sure you'll, well, we got a lot to talk about, as you said. So let's play the obligatory salutation at the end of the program here, and tell everybody to join us next week. And we don't know what will happen. You never know. But we pride ourselves in the finest technical difficulties of any radio station.
That's all, folks.
I don't know. You want to join Fox News in progress? I don't know.
Vietnam, protecting doctors from cuts in Medicare reimbursements, extending a tax break for teachers who buy their own school supplies, expanding oil and natural gas drilling in the Gulf of Mexico, and continuing deductions for college tuition.
Fox's Rudy Bakhtiar left undone the budget to fund the government. College football's biggest prize to be handed out in New York tonight. Ohio State quarterback Troy Smith, the favorite to win the Heisman Trophy. The other two finalists, Notre Dame quarterback Brady Quinn and Arkansas running back Darren McFadden. I'm Jane Metzler, Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz, AM 1340 KOMY Watsonville. I'm Dave Michaels with your weather forecast for today, December 9th, 2006. Looks like today you can expect more showers with highs around 62 degrees and winds south at 20 to 30 miles an hour. Tonight you can expect steady rain, showers continuing overnight with lows around 45 degrees. Winds should be south-southwest at 10 to 20 miles an hour. And there is an 80% chance of rainfall reaching near a quarter of an inch. Tomorrow, windy with rain early, then remaining cloudy with showers in the afternoon. High should be around 60 degrees with winds south-southwest at 15 to 25 miles an hour. Your Monterey Bay Boaters forecast for today, southwest winds 10 to 15 knots with wind waves 2 feet or less, and a west swell 7 to 11 feet at 14 seconds, along with morning showers. The temperature here at the station is 56 degrees, and it's time for Perspectives right here on AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz, AM 1340 KOMY Watsonville.